everyone. Welcome to Everyday Theologian, where we educate, empower, and equip you to know why you believe what you believe. Everybody, welcome back. Thanks again for joining us today. We have a special guest who some of you may recognize from season one. He did a podcast over predestination and free will. And if you haven't checked that out, I really encourage you to do so. But we have Mr. David Phillips back with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. If somebody's listening and maybe they did not listen to the first podcast, could you just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I've been involved in music ministry and then youth ministry and pastoring for 50 years, essentially. And I'm pastor of Paris Bible Church. I've been there as pastor for about 35 years. And I also taught school at Prairie Land, where Charlie graduated and was one of my students. And I'm just really, I think it's cool what you're doing now and glad to be able to participate in.
Thanks. That's why you guys listening may hear me say Mr. Phillips.
Sure. Or Dr. Phil, that'll be too.
Well, today we're going to be talking about something that is really prevalent in our culture today, something that we should be kind of looking at, and it is, what is a false teacher? When we open up the Bible, we see Paul talking about this. So it's not something that's new that we should, you know, just now be looking at. It's been going on. So I asked Mr. Phillips to come and talk about this topic, and we're just going to jump into what is a false teacher when we say that term?
Okay. Let me begin at the beginning, as Maria said in Sound of Music. This is a topic that has plagued not only the church, but also Israel. So in Deuteronomy 18, the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, and then there are specific things. If he speaks in the name of the Lord, if the things does not happen or come to pass, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. You shall not listen to him. And then in the prophets, Jeremiah has this warning. The Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them. So this is a through the scriptures issue. It was a large issue in the early church, and both Paul and Peter and John and Jesus all address it. So let me just quickly buzz through Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ferocious wolves. Now, there may be those listening who didn't know that that phrase, a wolf in sheep's clothing, comes directly from Scripture. And not only from Scripture, but directly from Jesus. So he's warning his disciples here. He talks about a tree bearing, a good tree bears good fruit, a bad tree bears bad fruit. By their fruit, you will know them and recognize them. In Luke 24, he talks about false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. And there are false teachers right now, and certainly have been for a long time, who specialize in signs and wonders. You know, they're doing healings. They're doing all kinds of things that are supposed to generate wonder in the people who listen to them. And, of course, now we have, you know, for a long time, TV was the media that they all wanted to be on to try to influence as many people as possible. Now, of course, we have social media, we have it on our phones, we have it everywhere. And I think that sometimes Christians, especially Christians who are not mature tend to be hoodwinked by these false teachers, and they believe things that are not true, and they're not well enough founded in scriptures to know that they're not true,
mm-hmm.
which is, as a pastor, I'm going to say it's the fault of pastors more than anyone else, that they're not well founded in the scriptures. And of course, everyone is responsible to read the word on their own, but especially new Christians need instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, pastors ought to be very, very aware of that. In Acts, Luke's quoting Paul here in a sermon at Ephesus. Paul says, keep watch over yourselves and the flock. He's talking to the elders at Ephesus, and some are gathered there from other churches as well. He says, after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, even from your own number, even from these elders that I'm talking to, there will be men who arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Mm-hmm. So this is absolutely not a new problem that we're facing in the church. And it's discouraging if we focus on that. And even, you know, if we focus on the lack of instruction in many churches, one of the remedies to that is to see that God is working in a number of churches mm-hmm. now, that people that we don't even know of, pastors we don't even know of, congregations we may not know about, to really pursue sound teaching from Scripture
mm-hmm.
and to cover the major points of doctrine. So it's really important that that happens, but it also is important for our spiritual comfort to realize mm-hmm. that it's happening, even though the false teachers are always going to be loud.
Mm.
They're always going to be those who, and you know, we see falling away among, you know, Christian musicians now, even, you know, pastors who've been prominent, you know, saying, well, I don't believe in the whole Christian thing anymore, or something mm-hmm. like that. That's discouraging,
yeah.
But it's only discouraging if we put our faith in men.
Mm.
If our faith is in Christ and his word, then we're not going to be, if we know his word, we're not going to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the things that I've read so far would tell us that it's going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to be careful not to be co-opted by those smooth voices of those who are teaching wrong doctrine or teaching themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's one of the things that we're specifically warned about here. In Romans 16, Paul says, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you've learned. So they're specifically teaching doctrine other than what the apostles taught.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says in here, he says, they deceived by smooth and flattering speech. They deceived the hearts of the simple. And by simple, Paul means those who don't know the word.
Mm.
So in 2 Corinthians, he says, there are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves. Okay. Start that over again. False prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is the passage where he talks about Satan himself transforming himself into an angel of light. So it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we learn in this passage is if somebody's teaching false doctrine, it's satanic.
Mm-hmm. That's big.
Yes, it's big.
Yeah,
So, you know, in Galatians 1, Paul expresses his surprise at the Galatians being, this is verse 6 of Galatians 1, so he's just barely into Galatians, and he says, I marvel you're turning away from the one who called you to the grace of Christ to a different gospel. There are some who trouble you, want to pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, if we, Paul and the apostles, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Mm. That's pretty strong. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you received, let him be accursed. He says it in verse 8 and 9. So, you know, Paul does not mince words about false teachers. Neither does Peter. And I have a number of references from Paul, but in 2 Peter 2, Peter says, there will be false teachers among you. They will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. Sounds like things going on today.
Yes, yes. I mean, things that we are hearing about. I think the world, for the most part, doesn't know about them, but Christians know about them, and sometimes they're discouraged. But I think it should encourage us to know that the church has been dealing with this for 2,000 years.
Yes. It's what you're reading is very encouraging to me, because when we look at social media and stuff, we can be like, wow, what is going on? But even Jesus talked about it.
Yeah.
It was happening when he was on earth. So,
well, and, you know, of course, Jesus is, he knows the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
So he's teaching his disciples, these things are going to happen. Do not be discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Jude says in his one chapter letter, he says he was going to write to them about the faith in general, but then he said, I found it necessary to write you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The gospel doesn't change. It is once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who were long ago marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness. And we hear about, you know, evangelists and pastors and music directors, you know, falling into sin, and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and the rest of Jude is about those destructive heresies and how we are to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
John in 1 John 4 says, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming, even now is already in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak the viewpoint of the world. The world listens to them. We are from God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all the way through, all the apostles who wrote the letters that we have specifically dealt with this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it is prevalent. Actually, the early church councils, Nicaea and Laodicea, Constantinople, Ephesus, they were convened to deal with error.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the great doctrines we have, like the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of the humanity of Christ, as well as the deity of Christ, that he is all God, all man, those were established for the church in these councils because heresies arose.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the third and fourth centuries that we're talking about here, that are the fourth and fifth centuries, actually. So, you know, those things are, they happened then, they will be happening now. We now have, and this is a glory to God and a fulfillment of what Jesus specifically said, that the gospel is supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, the gospel is to the ends of the earth. For instance, there were 300 million people who claimed Christ in Africa. 200 million who claim to be Christians in the United States.
Wow.
So again, you know, those things ought to give us encouragement, but they are also going to mean that false teachers will arise.
Yeah. So when we say false teachers, and you said you've been a pastor for 35 years, 35. Yeah, that's incredible. You know, there are pastors who practice their whole lives in the pulpit, and which is wonderful, but what would you say is the difference between a pastor who has preached for decades and maybe stands up one morning and gets something wrong versus a false teacher? Okay. How could we kind of differentiate between that?
Okay, well, I got just a short list of the characteristics of false teachers here that I think would help with that question. Okay, Jesus says they're wolves in sheep's clothing, so they attempt to be recognized as something they're not. They are bad trees that produce bad fruit, so it is natural to them to produce bad fruit, Jesus says. They show signs and wonders to deceive. They arise from within the church. We have that warning several times here. They serve their own belly rather than Christ. So those who are into Christianity for profit rather than to honor Christ and to teach biblical gospel are those we need to watch out for. They use smooth and words and flattering speech. They try to transform themselves into apostles. Some of them call themselves apostles. And I just got to tell you, if somebody calls themselves an apostle today, watch out. And I know that is popular in some denominations. They preach a different gospel than the biblical gospel that we have. And Paul says they are accursed. So that's a final condemnation from the Apostle Paul. They use cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And they use philosophy and empty deceit to try to persuade people. Okay, so your question, is there a difference between a teacher who makes a mistake versus a false teacher? So Titus 1:13 says, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. So those who are generally solid, but they get something wrong. And, you know, if you read the scriptures, it's been my practice to just read the scriptures through, start in Genesis, read all the way through to Revelation, start over again. And I learn something new every time. When a godly pastor, godly teacher gets something wrong and someone comes to them and shows them the scripture and says, let's talk about this. One of the characteristics of a truly godly pastor is he's going to say, I got it. I was wrong. And he's going to tell the people that that teaching was wrong. So I think that's a huge characteristic that we need to watch for. If someone gets called on an area where what they're teaching doesn't line up with scripture and they refuse it, then that's the one we need to watch out for.
So they're approachable and they listen to people and then repent if they are wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And not only repent, but make it plain to those that have been teaching.
Go back and publicly say, hey, I taught you guys this wrong. There's also kind of this debate, I feel like, within the Christian culture of it being mean or wrong to publicly say, don't listen to this person or this teaching is wrong. Is it not Christ-like to tell, warn people not to listen to false teaching? Or what do you think about that?
Okay. Well, first of all, if it involves someone directly, we got the Matthew 18 passage that the Lord Jesus gave us about how to handle offenses within the church. Okay. So you go individually, if they will not respond, go with someone else. And if they don't respond to that, then you take it to the church.
Okay.
But if someone is teaching publicly in social media, on television, whatever, and they're teaching wrong doctrine, and there's a difference between misinterpreting a passage and preaching a different gospel. So, you know, if it if the gospel lines up with Ephesians chapter 2, which is Paul's magnum opus on the nature of the gospel, we're saved by faith in Christ alone, not by works, lest anyone should boast. You know, that is, if someone teaches a gospel other than that, you know, Paul says, go to them and rebuke them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are sincere in the faith, they will respond. They'll repent. But if they won't repent, then other measures need to be taken, and believers and pastors especially need to be speaking out against mm-hmm. that. Because if the gospel is taught wrong, that is condemning not only the one who teaches it, but the ones who hear him.
Mm-hmm.
So we dare not teach it wrong. And those who teach a mixture of faith and works, that's not biblical gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be aware of that. And that's a whole lot of, you know, what we see in some who claim to be mainline Christians, mm-hmm. as they teach a gospel of works instead of only mm-hmm. faith alone,
yeah.
in Christ alone.
I've also heard kind of the theology that if you come to Christ, he will bless you and things will go great. And that as well, I would say, is getting the actual gospel wrong.
Well, yes, it is, because that's gospel for profit, basically. Mm. And anytime someone teaches that, you can be pretty sure that they're not poor. They're teaching that for their own profit, mm. as well as trying to persuade someone concerning that. And that is something that, you know, again, we need to rebuke. Or if, you know, like the guy in Houston who has the big world behind him instead of the cross, and who teaches that, you know, the gospel is all about living your best life now, mm. Rather than the saving gospel of Christ, then we should rebuke that from mm. the pulpit. We should teach, not rebuke it in meanness or anger, but in faithfulness to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So we should speak out, yeah. and there's plenty of opportunities.
Mm-hmm. As a person may be listening, or, you know, myself included, how do we as individuals guard against false teaching? And, you know, you said certain things like, each person needs to be in the Word mm-hmm. themselves. Even going to a church where a pastor like you teaches through the scripture. But I also think sometimes it can be challenging for people because, like you said, false teachers are so loud mm-hmm. on social media. It's just, sometimes it feels like it's just overwhelming, all of the bad teaching that you can hear in one
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say to somebody about how we can guard ourselves?
First of all, don't listen to that.
Don't listen to them. Yeah.
Yeah, don't listen to them. And you know, I think that believers who are in the Word are going to have a spiritual radar
mm.
that perks up and says, wait a minute, something's wrong here. So here's what I would say about how to stand guard. We need to know the scriptures and what they teach about doctrine. We need to be alert based on a solid understanding of the Word to error where we find it. And we need to be, pastors need to be consistently teaching right doctrine mm. so those who we're responsible for are well-founded mm-hmm. in the faith. And we need a plan to be sure that the congregation is sound.
Mm-hmm.
In our fellowship, right now we have a number of people who've not been in the church very long.
Okay.
And most of them bring families with them. Some of them bring pretty large families with them. The Lord has blessed us with many children right now. And there are issues that accompany that, you know, babies who, you know, small children who have difficulty being quiet. But our folks are convicted that their children need to be with them in church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all, including me, going to just deal with that, you know, and be compassionate toward those young moms who are doing the best they can. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why God gave the widows and the mature women of the church to the younger women of the church so that they can help them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's picking up the child to carry him out. for them. Sometimes it's helping that young mother. One of the things that Gloria, my wife, did when our kids were little is they would have church every day at home.
That's a great idea. And
learn to sit quietly and to understand when they're supposed to be quiet and when they can, you know, be loud children. But then sharing that with those young mothers, mm-hmm. you know, here's how we train our children. But we also have people who have not been sitting under my teaching for a while. And so I just finished teaching through Romans, which is heavily doctrinal. I don't know if I told you this story before, but my oldest son, when he was, before he was married, he moved to Dallas, got a job there, and he was participating in a young guy's Bible study, and he was helping to lead it. And his roommate also was in that study. And so the roommate, they've been in Hebrews, and they were about halfway through, and the roommate one day said to Josh, he said, Hebrews has got all of this doctrine in it, and it's just hard for me to wade through. He said, you think maybe we could study something else for a while? And Josh said, well, what would you like to study then? The guy said, how about Romans? He said, okay, that's fine. but we just finished the study of Romans. So what we're doing right now is we are dealing with major doctrines of the faith, mm-hmm. starting with the doctrines of God. This Sunday, we're studying the communicable attributes of God, some of the communicable attributes. I try to take two or three a week because I can't get through any more and get people out of church on time. But that's what we're doing mm-hmm. right now. So we're going to be talking about the knowledge and wisdom of God this week, this Sunday. And then we're just going through, I'm using Louis Burkhoff's Systematic Theology. Mm. I thought about using another one. I'll think of the guy's name. Oh, Charles Hodge. His, but Hodge tends to look at the entire history of what's happened in this doctrine in the church over the last 2,000 years. Uh-huh. Burkhoff focuses on the doctrine. Okay. It's what needs to be taught. So I'm using Burkhoff, but I'm familiar with Hodge. And there are a couple of other things that I recommend to the folks in our church. One of those is J.I. Packer's Knowing God.
Okay.
Which is a great condensation of Christian doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Written in a manner that it's pretty easy to understand. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're acquainted with Packer's work, but he is one of the finest of the Christian authors. He was a teacher at a seminary in Canada.
Wow.
And I just highly recommend that. Awesome. And then for those who really want to dig in, I recommend Stephen Charnock's Existence and the Existence and Attributes of God, mm-hmm. which is, Charnock was a Puritan, and so it's very in-depth.
Yeah.
You have to dig deep when you get into Charnock. But we're doing that because even though many of the people in the church have been sitting under my teaching for quite a while, there are those who are new, and I don't know exactly what they know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to give them a sound background in mm-hmm. doctrine, starting with the doctrines of God. In answer to one of your questions here, it is never wrong to call out false teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be ready with an answer to those that the teacher, false teacher, has been instructing.
Yeah.
We need to know our business.
Mm. I think that is such a good conclusion to all of this, is each individual needs to know the foundational doctrines of their faith, need to be studying their Bibles, go to a fellowship, a body of believers who also dive into the Word, mm-hmm. Eat meat rather than just drink a bottle of formula their whole lives. Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to add? I love the characteristics that you read those again, the characteristics of the false teacher that you had.
I think
But I think that was such a good summary.
This is a condensation of all of the passages that I read from earlier. They're wolves in sheep's clothing, so they appear to be something that they are not. They're bad trees that produce bad fruit. This is quoting Jesus. They show signs and wonders to deceive. They arise from within the church, and it's important we know that. Mm-hmm. They serve their own belly rather than Christ, which means they're seeking profit. Mm-hmm. They use smooth words and flattering speech. They will try to transform themselves into apostles, try to gain the authority that apostles had when they have no business doing that. They preach a different gospel than the apostles preached. Paul says they are accursed. They use cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And they use philosophy and empty deceit. That's from Colossians. Mm-hmm. Paul talks at great length about the issues with philosophy rather than Christian doctrine. Mm-hmm. And I've known people who think themselves philosophers, and they really quickly get into error.
Mm. Yeah, that summary was so helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that two times because it was so good. Was there anything else you wanted to add in conclusion?
Just a little bit here. Since we're repeatedly warned about false teachers in Scripture, we should expect to find them. Mm. They will arise. I mean, it's not whether they arise, it's where and when they arise. Mm-hmm. Second, we need to be sure that we're sitting under a teacher who knows and teaches sound doctrine. Mm-hmm. And I think there are those around who do that. There are some who focus on sometimes things that are silly instead of sound doctrine. I think we should watch out for that. Mm-hmm. And look for where we're going to get sound teaching. And then third, know the important doctrines yourself.
Mm, yes.
And that's where I recommend Knowing God by J.I. Packer as a kind of a foundational book for someone who feels that they may be lacking in the understanding of doctrine to just lay hands on that book and read it beginning to end. Mm-hmm. Packer's very faithful to the Scriptures, and he really understands Christian doctrine, mm-hmm. and is able to boil it down to in easily digested sections so that someone can get their hands on it and understand it and really be instructed. And, you know, if you are concerned, if someone who's listening is concerned about whether you're getting sound doctrine, I still would recommend getting Packer's Knowing God, stay in the Word yourself, get Packer's Knowing God, and find out if you're getting sound doctrine. Mm. And then, you know, look for that teaching.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing on
this
topic.
You're very welcome.
I hope you guys enjoyed this. Write down those characteristics, those Bible verses, study them yourselves, right? We want to know, because like Mr. Phillips said, it's not if false teachers arise, it's when and where false teachers arise. So thank you guys for joining us. If you are on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. If you're on a podcast platform, share this with your friends and leave a comment, and we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Don't forget to check out everydaytheologian.life for more biblical and theological resources and also some exclusive merchandise.